Good morning and welcome to the Coffee and Cap Rates Podcast, your go-to source for New York City's latest commercial real estate insights. This program is brought to you by Ariel Property Advisors.
Hi, everyone. This is Shimon Shkuri here with Coffee and Cap Rates today with my partner, Mike Tortorici, and our director, Howard Raber. We're going to talk about the Manhattan market and what happened in the past 6 months. Hey, Mike and Howard, thanks so much for joining us today.
Happy summer, Shimon.
Hi there. Happy to be here.
Awesome. So we've seen that actually Manhattan Long Island Sixth Street was about 46% of all New York City transactions. I want to touch on the office market, multifamily and land a little bit. And the office market is super interesting. What we've seen is that mortgage maturities led to decisions by the larger firms, like those who own these office buildings, if it's RXR, Blackstone, LNL, and others. And one decision was, hey, these office buildings are not doing well today. These underlying fundamentals are not that strong. Let's hand over keys to lenders. But the other side of it was exactly the opposite. Class A office buildings, fully rented or close to fully rented, high rents, relatively new, those buildings were held onto by more or less the same type of high-class investors. Is there a one transaction that kind of explained where quality is king in this world, Howard?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you look at 245 Park Avenue, where SL Green bought the asset in 2022 for less than the original owner paid for it. Then they brought in new capital to bring it in, where it's showing that there's people looking to reinvest in this market. If it is a quality type, grade A, class A office property, people are recognizing that's where tenants want to be. And I think that's an important thing to see in today's markets.
Yeah. So the office market definitely in transition. But if you have a great asset like 245, SL Green not only holding on to it since 2017, but also brings in or manages to bring in new equity at only a 9% discount to their purchase in 2017, which is a great testament to the city of New York and quality assets. When it comes to the multifamily market, it was about 65% of all transactions in terms of dollar volume. And 90% of that was in the predominantly free market world, and maybe with some situations with 421A, which we consider behaves like free market. Mike, what's happening there? Why so much free market compared to other sub-assets of multifamily?
Yeah, look, I mean, with rates being as high as they are right now, those that have predominantly rent-stabilized properties really need to take a hit on their value if they're going to transact today. Looking at cap rates overall in Manhattan, today they're at the first half average about 5.27%, driven largely by interest rates. That's up from 4.36%, which was the 2022 year-end average. So the properties that are trading are taking a real hit. At the same time, I think it's a real opportunity for investors to acquire multifamily assets in a supply-constrained New York City rental market at cap rates north of 5 that I haven't seen in as long as I've been doing this, around 20 years. So those that see the tight supply, see the rental market that's been hitting new records this year, it's an interesting opportunity to jump in right now.
I think you're absolutely right. And you sold together with Howard and others, Norfolk and Ludlow earlier this year, and you see exactly that. You saw the underlying fundamentals grow by about 20% on that specific asset in terms of rents. You've seen the pricing stay more or less the same. This rent mitigated the growth in interest rate, which is super interesting for us from an observation perspective. So sales for free market multi will probably continue to do.
Just one more point on that, Shimon. One thing that we've been seeing in the first half, and Norfolk and Ludlow are a great example of that, is international capital coming to the table. And we've seen that in a few other transactions in lower Manhattan, particularly. There's a lot of demand from overseas investors that have a long view and a bullish view on New York.
That's a great point. The investor bench is deep, institutional, private clients, and international. And when it comes to land, land values and volume have gone down throughout the city, even in Manhattan, mostly because here we're looking for condominium development and clearly interest rates have slowed down the sales of condominiums. Mike or Howard, is there one transaction that was interesting or can you explain that market a little bit better for us?
Sure. So, you know, land to me right now is a fascinating product line in Manhattan. We only saw about 15 trades in the first half of the year. for development sites. About two-thirds of those were conversions. Only five or so were land sales. And I think that's indicative, again, of owners that want to transact today kind of need to take a little bit of a hit compared to what they've seen in the last few years. The average price per buildable square foot came in at about $409 for the half, which is the lowest level since 2011. And, you know, one example of that was a deal that took place in Chelsea, Extel sale of 533 West 27th Street, which went for just under $400 a buildable square foot in a great Chelsea neighborhood that has regularly been a leader in terms of sellout values. A few other times you've seen some assemblages that have driven up the price for buildable square foot. There was one on 37 West 57th Street that went for just under $1,000 a foot. There was another one at 53rd Avenue that went for in the low 400s per buildable square foot. So again, people with a long view that see New York as a magnet for high net worth condo buyers see through the risks of today, and it is an interesting time to be acquiring land. And we're starting to see that also on some transactions that we're all, Howard and I and Shimon and the rest of the team are all working on.
Where do we see Manhattan, guys, in the next 6 to 18 months?
Listen, Manhattan, I think as a long-term investor, people are going to be bullish in the market. People are going to be keeping an eye on those interest rates to see how it affects where they want to go. I think the multifamily market and free market asset class, free market units is going to be a popular type of acquisition for people because there is strong revenues and strong cash flow, as Mike was talking about earlier. And I think people are going to be looking for those types of opportunities. Also, I think the office market for those Class B buildings will be interesting to watch, where there'll be a cheaper price per foot, but an opportunity for either a repositioning of that asset as more people come back to the office. And I think people will be looking for those pockets of types of investments.
I'd also just add that second quarter transactions were up big over the first quarter. So I do think the market is getting used to this challenging environment, which will probably be here for the foreseeable future. And if they have a sense of where pricing is, we should see some more transactions through the balance of the year, and especially coming into 2024.
Yeah, this is very helpful. And all of this is based on our research report for Manhattan, which can be found on our website. Thank you so much, Mike. Thank you so much, Howard. And thank you, everybody, for listening.